You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
We are rolling along on this Monday. Hope you had a wonderful weekend, and we are so grateful you've chosen to get up with us today. As always, we come to you live from the Seaport District at Pier 17. We are brought to you by Chase. I am Greeny. We are counting down the days to the NFL draft, and today is a very important day in that process for a variety of reasons, and we're going to explain why right now. Let's roll the menu. We got a big hour coming your way of Get Up, and it is today another chance for Lance. And we have late news that could very well mean a shakeup at the top of the draft. That's on the way. Meanwhile, Trevor talks, and he makes all the sense in the world, but we'll tell you why it still isn't likely to quiet all of his critics. And then KD, hurt again. How bad is it? We have the very latest as Woj joins us live in 15 minutes. That's right here on Get Up on ESPN. And it begins 10 days from the draft, and Trey Lance having his second pro day later today. And if you're saying, you know, I've never seen this guy play, why does everyone love him so much? Well, I'm glad you asked. Let me show you. First off, look at him trucking people. Oh, that's Trey Lance against UC Davis. He's big. He's strong. He will lower the shoulder and take it in for the score. Second play. How about the elusiveness? He is dead to rights here. Dead to rights. But he's got the power to shake off the tackle and then the presence to throw the touchdown there. That was against Youngstown State. And then this one is against Montana State. Again, watch the throw on the run as he pulls that one out for a 75-yard touchdown. So these are just some of the reasons why this player, who has only 17 starts at a lower level and won them all, has everybody so excited. And again, today is a very big day. Matt Miller, our draft insider extraordinaire, joins the party here. But Graziano, I'm going to start with you. There is a piece of news connected to this that I found fascinating that I think others will as well, about a request from the 49ers that at least set off bells in my mind. Tell everybody about that.
So Trey Lance has a private quarterback coach named Quincy Avery that he's worked with for a number of years and will continue to. But another guy who does that work is John Beck, the former NFL quarterback who played for 49ers coach Kyle Shanahan when Kyle was the offensive coordinator in Washington a decade ago. A couple of weeks ago, the 49ers and Kyle Shanahan asked Trey Lance to go spend some time with John Beck so that they could get Beck's eyes on him, because Beck is someone whose opinion that Kyle trusts very much. Not that he doesn't trust Quincy, but he knows Beck longer and obviously believes in his evaluations of quarterbacks. Also, the 49ers gave John Beck a program of drills that they wanted Trey Lance to work on for the last couple of weeks and today at this workout, which the 49ers will be attending and I'm told planning to have a hand in administering. So the Niners are trying to see if Trey Lance can do some very, very specific things for them that pertain to their offense and his potential role in it as they continue to consider him as one of three possibilities, along with Justin Fields, who also works with John Beck, and Mac Jones at that number three overall pick.
Right. So, Matt, I'm going to come to you. There's no other way I can read this other than that is not the way you behave if you've already made up your mind you are taking someone else. That is a lot of trouble to go to for a team that has already made up its mind is taking Mac Jones and is just going, you know, doing the due diligence. This feels like a lot more than that to me. Matt, you've been around it a long time. What does it feel like to you?
Yeah, it does. It feels like to me they went to the car lot with a certain car in mind, but they're looking at a couple others just to make sure there's not something better out there. I think when they made that trade up to number three overall, they had an idea of who they liked. But there has been a lot of time since then until now. It's been a lot of time since Trey Lance's first pro day on March 12th. That feels like it was centuries ago at this point. So I do believe when the Niners made that trade from 12 to 3, Kyle Shanahan felt comfortable enough with a quarterback, most likely Mac Jones, to make that trade. But now you have to go into these pro days with an open mind. You have to go look at Trey Lance today and say, hey, you guys did a great job with a highlight package. This is a quarterback who did not throw an interception in 2019, 28 touchdowns in the air, 12 on the ground. He's everything you want in a modern quarterback, just a limited number of starts. So you have to go in today with an open mind to say maybe this is the type of quarterback we need in this Shanahan offense.
Okay, so I agree with what you're saying in principle, but I disagree with your point. If you know who's not going to this today? Jacksonville and the Jets, because they've made up their mind. So you've made up your mind, you don't have an open mind. So Dominique, he used the car lot example. We used a restaurant earlier. Any analogy you want to make? If you've made up your mind, you've made up your mind. Obviously, Dominique, the 49ers haven't.
Yeah, I think you're right. And maybe these other teams like the Jaguars and the Jets should be there too. Maybe they should not have made up their mind yet, because you don't have to. More information is not better. And I got to give kudos to Matt, because his analogy, the car light analogy, I think it beats your restaurant analogy, Greeny. I hate to break it to you, but that was a good one. Because I understand showing up to a car light, like I got my eye on this particular car. Then you show up and you see something like, hey, I like that. Let me give it a test drive. I don't have to make this decision right now. So I like the idea of them getting as much information as possible. And I have to be honest, as impressive as Trey Lance's highlights are, something about those highlights give me some pause, because I look at the end zone and it says Penguins. Like, he's playing against Youngstown State. Like, let's relax. Let's calm it down a little bit. He's balling against Penguins. It's hard for me to get too excited about that tape.
Okay, so that is obviously one of the questions, is the level of competition that he has faced. But I have to take umbrage. His analogy is not better than my analogy, and let me tell you why. Tim Hasselbeck, I will give this to you. I will strengthen my restaurant analogy. If you have chosen to go to a particular restaurant exclusively because they have a particular dish, it's the only reason you're going there in the first place, then you don't need to look at the menu. The 49ers didn't have the third pick in the draft because they were the third worst team. They traded up to get there. They chose to go to this restaurant, and if they did because they have one particular dish that they have to go up there to get, then they're not asking for a menu when they get there and trying to figure out if they want to change it. Hasselbeck, what do you think?
Sure, yeah, and I don't know if this fits in the restaurant analogy, Greeny, but I would say this. I think you're right. Maybe sometimes you're just being polite because you're like, no, I might consider the daily special. Like, tell me about it. Maybe I will order it. But I think they did that truthfully. I think they did that at Alabama's Pro Day. That's what I think. So I think we all kind of are sitting here and we're saying, well, why are they doing this with Trey Lance? You know why? Because maybe that's the entree that they were planning on ordering all along. Maybe that's why. It just happened to be that Alabama's Pro Day was prior to that. So for me, listen, restaurant analogy or not, I've never really felt like Mac Jones was the pick. I don't think you do what they did to go up and get Mac Jones. I know it kind of wasn't where we were planning on going with it, but I don't think they did. I think they were doing it for somebody else, and I think just the way the calendar of events has gone on, you're able to go make a big deal about Mac Jones, because guess what? You know, that pro day and those pro days are littered with other players and information that you may draft. So I think that's why this is happening personally, which is why it makes more sense than, you know, doing everything you've done and still going to this pro day if Mac Jones is the pick, to your point about what Jacksonville and the New York Jets are doing.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Tim's right, and I think Tim's right, and I also think in reading Tim Kuhn's piece about Trey Lance, it's another important part. We all focus on Trey Lance's physical ability because it's super impressive, but Trey Lance was breaking down NFL film as a freshman in college because he wasn't getting enough time on the field. He needed something to do. So I think the mental part of the game that we all laud about Mac Jones, it appears to me that Trey Lance might have that also. So I think he is probably the perfect pick for the 49ers right there. He has that mental aspect combined with that running ability and strong arm. It's hard to imagine Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch looking at those two players and deciding to go with Mac Jones. So I think you're right. They decided on his entree a while ago, and they just listened to the special with Mac Jones. They're still going to go with the entree that they want. And Greeny, that's just a little respect for you because it's your show. We're going to lean on your weak analogy.
No, it's a good analogy. His father, by the way, for those that don't know, Trey Lance's father was a defensive back in the Canadian Football League, so he has been around the sport forever. But let me add to the analogy, okay? And Matt Miller, I'll come back to you because you deal with this stuff all the time. It is one thing to say, all right, to just sort of say, let me hear about the special. I'll just humor you. But that's not what they're doing. They're going into the kitchen. They're asking the chef exactly what the ingredients are.
Right.
They're designing the special for them. They're going much farther. My analogy rules, Dominic. I don't know what you're talking about. It perfectly encapsulates the situation that is going on here. And I've been saying it for months, Matt Miller, to people like you. Trey Lance is the guy that they went up there to get. As Hasselbeck said, it's the only one that makes sense. Go ahead, Matt.
It's the only one who makes sense to us, but what ultimately matters is Kyle Shanahan. And I think, you know, Graziano could point to this. Almost everyone you talk to in the NFL still believes that Mac Jones will be the pick. I mean, it is overwhelmingly that is the case when you talk to people connected to the league, people connected to the 49ers, other teams, agents. And let's remember, Justin Fields, they also asked John Beck to do this. And we don't believe that there's a chance they'll take Justin Fields. So the Niners have done this with all the quarterbacks. Zach Wilson works with John Beck. John Beck's making a lot of money off of the 49ers this offseason with that connection. Very happy for him. But they're asking every quarterback to do this. So, yes, we want to read into the fact that they've asked Trey Lance to do this today. They asked Justin Fields to do it last week as well, guys.
To that point, Graziano, you were making the point earlier this morning that with the 49ers, history has been everybody kind of knows what they're doing, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Kyle Shanahan's a terrible liar when it comes to this stuff. We've known his first pick literally each of the 4 years he's been there. I mean, you go back to Solomon Thomas, to McGlinchey the lineman. Nick Bosa was a sure thing. Even last year, they traded DeForest Buckner for a first-round pick, and almost instantly the word was, you know, the guy they like for that pick is Javon Kinlaw. That's who they took. So the Mac Jones stuff is legit. I mean, there's a reason it's out there, and it may well be that he's the pick. But my understanding is that they haven't yet decided, and I think Trey Lance has a chance to show them something today that really throws him into the conversation. Go back to December when the 49ers played the Bills. Before and after that game, which the Bills won handily, Kyle Shanahan raving about Josh Allen and all his physical ability and what that allows an offense to do when you have a quarterback like that. There are some clues here if you want to believe it's Trey Lance.
And that is the comparable that a lot of people are using. All right, guys, sit tight. I need Hasselbeck for a minute here. Let's do some QB reads as we look at some of the other quarterbacks who will go high in this draft. And we start with Justin Fields. What are we seeing?
Listen, I think the thing with Justin Fields that's unique is that at the highest level of college football, he's been outstanding. I think that he has Cam Newton-type traits in all the right ways, meaning that I believe he's talented enough to be a league MVP. He could be that good of a quarterback. And so, you know, I think that's the one thing that jumps out. As people talk about him dropping, he's a really talented and kind of ready prospect to go play in the NFL.
The next one is Mac Jones.
No, I think when you look at Mac Jones, and Greeny, and I think when you look at Mac Jones, listen, he does a lot. I feel like I'm in a position where I'm trashing him as a prospect, and that's not the case. I think he's a very good prospect. But when you're talking about the first half of the first round, you're talking about a guy that, quite honestly, has athletic deficiencies when you compare him to other guys that are playing the position in today's football that are young players. That is what concerns me, and that's what surprises me about the 49ers moving up with him as the target. And then when you look at Trevor Lawrence, look, here's the deal with him. He checks so many boxes. When you watch him, you look into him, you find out that, quite honestly, you love everything. If he's not a 10 across the board, he's no worse than an 8 in anything, meaning arm strength, accuracy, decision-making, athleticism, size, leadership, everything that he does is checking a box where you come away really, really impressed. And I think that's the one big thing of why he's the unanimous number one.
Yeah, Mel Kiper, who's been doing this forever, said he's the fourth best prospect at quarterback that he has ever scouted. All right, we'll take a short break on that thought. Much more as we continue. Big hour on the way. Why does one Green Bay legend think Aaron Rodgers and the Packers could be headed for a nasty divorce? You'll hear it directly from him. And KD down with yet another injury. How bad is it? How much time could he miss? Woj will join us live with insight into that and more right after this. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious, in the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
We are back on Get Up, and the NBA's game of the day yesterday featured one frightening moment. KD and the Nets in Miami. KD was 4-for-4 from the floor, and then this happened. We're still early in the ball game, and that is KD taking the knee to the contusion. He would get a left thigh contusion. As you see, he gets Trevor Ariza's knee directly into the thigh. He would stay in the game, but not for long. You see him being helped off. Woj is going to join me live in just a moment with the very latest. Let's show you how this ended. It's a good game. Fourth quarter, close game. Kyrie, no good. Now we're going the other way. Goran Dragic has it. Goran Dragic isn't going to give it up. Taking it all the way to the hole with the Euro step. Miami ties the game at 107. Chris Rock loves it. Here we go. Here's your ball game. Tied. Final seconds. Bam Adebayo for the win. Knocks it down. 21 points, 15 boards, 5 assists for Bam. Take a look. Clearly gets it off before the buzzer. Brooklyn's own Chris Rock somehow seems to be cheering for the wrong team as that one goes, and it's a big win for Adebayo and the Heat. But obviously the big story here is Kevin Durant, and the man who always has all the stories is Adrian Wojnarowski. Woj, thanks as always for getting up. What can you tell us about Durant?
Well, Greeny, the Nets want to see how that thigh bruise feels today with Kevin Durant. Their sense is that usually it hurts a little more the next day, and they'll get a better sense of how long he might miss. But, you know, the hope is that this is a day-to-day injury. But they wanted to really just see how it felt today when Durant came back in for treatment.
And they've erred on the side of caution with him all year, and understandably so when you consider what he's coming back from. But like, what should we make of the fact that the Nets' big three has barely played together at all? I'm trying to wrap my mind around what that actually means. What do you think, big picture, it means?
Yeah, 7 games, Greeny. That's the amount of games that Kevin Durant, James Harden, Kyrie Irving have played together. And it is a concern. And I think if you're just matching up talent in the playoffs, not just the Nets star power, you know, but the role players they have. Adding a Blake Griffin in the buyout market. Joe Harris is having an outstanding season. The Nets, you know, they don't have a lot of holes, certainly. But the continuity that they don't have in big moments. And the postseason, you're going to be in a drag-out game with a Philadelphia, with a Milwaukee, with a Miami. And they don't have that experience together. And I think that with those other teams, that's their belief that they could still get Brooklyn in the postseason.
All right, we'll see what happens when we get there. Meanwhile, I need your reaction to this. So yesterday, Zion Williamson and the Pelicans lost in overtime to the Knicks at the Garden. And then afterwards, Zion, after his first game in the NBA at the Garden, said this.
New York is the mecca of basketball. I love playing here. This atmosphere, you know, whether they're cheering for you, whether they're booing for you, it's amazing. Honestly, I think outside of New Orleans, obviously, I think this might be my favorite place to play outside of New Orleans. I can't lie to you.
Woj, I'm sure no one in New York will overreact to that. What should the reaction be to young Zion saying this is his favorite place to play?
I think it's something to watch down the road, Greeny. I think if you followed Zion Williamson closely, he doesn't just talk to talk, and he's pretty particular in what he says and when he says it. He's been very consistent like that, even back to Duke, but in the NBA. And so listen, he's a long way away from free agency. He's only in his second year in the NBA, but I think with the way that the Knicks have been rejuvenated, the success you're seeing them have here in the short term anyway, I don't think it was completely by accident. If you the beginning of that clip, Greeny, he said, "Hey, I'm glad you asked that." It was clear he was waiting for that question. So something to watch down the road. And listen, I think we all know with New York, if you have a competent product on the floor, if that team is run well, you know, Madison Square Garden in New York is a place that players should want to play. We'll see how New York's able to carry that forward to a time where maybe it's a more timely conversation with players like Zion Williamson.
Now, for the record, Zion did play there as a collegian. He played there at Duke, but he did not play there last season. Quickly, has that perception of the Knicks changed? With Leon Rose and Tom Thibodeau, our old buddy here, used to work with us on this show. Has that perception inside the league changed quickly?
It's absolutely starting to change, and you're seeing a team that probably plays harder than any team in the league and is not going to be an easy out in the playoffs.
All right, outstanding. Woj, thank you, as always, for getting up. We'll check in with you a little bit later. We'll see what the latest is on KD as the morning continues. Meanwhile, back to the NFL here, and we are 10 days away from the NFL draft. So let's go on the clock with some bold football predictions. Dominique Foxworth, I'm starting with you. 30 seconds, give me a bold prediction. Go.
I think Kyle Pitts is going to be the rookie of the year for the offense. It hasn't happened since Mike Ditka was drafted, which was how many years ago? I don't know. Your guess is as good as mine, Greeny. A long time ago, but he has an opportunity to go to a great situation at Atlanta with a good quarterback and a lot of other weapons, so he won't get doubled or possibly slide down to Carolina, where Joe Brady is the guy who understands how to work him in the offense. Or he could end up in Miami across from Gesicki and they do a two tight end set. I think no matter where he ends up, he's going to be a pretty intense player who could have the potential to break some rookie records as a tight end and be the offensive rookie of the year.
Mike, it was exactly 60 years ago, Mike Ditka, 1961. And by the way, Ditka is also the first tight end to go into the Hall of Fame. It's a little early to put Kyle Pitts there, but let's see. Okay, who's next? Graziano, bold prediction, 30 seconds. Let's go.
I have Washington as a team that will trade up into the top 10 to draft a quarterback. But I'm a little bit concerned now because our John Keim reports that they've changed their plans and they're not going to this Trey Lance workout today. As of yesterday, they were still expected to go. I'm going to stick with my bold prediction because we're being bold and because Washington knows they need a long-term answer at the quarterback position. I don't think they're in a position to trade all the way up from 19 to 4 or 5, but I think if somebody they like slides toward the back of the top 10, you could see them make an aggressive move to go get a quarterback.
I like that. They don't have to be there today to do that. And Carolina at 8 continues to feel like a spot where something like that could happen. Tim Hasselbeck, bold prediction, 30 seconds, go.
Well, we heard Matt Miller say, talking to people inside the NFL, agents, we've heard Schefter link Mac Jones to the 49ers. Listen, my bold prediction is that that's not the entree that the Niners were looking for at the restaurant. That's my bold prediction. It is the entree that they've always wanted was probably Trey Lance. That's how I see it. So my bold prediction is that it's not Mac Jones that the 49ers select, but that it's Trey Lance that they select in this upcoming draft. And that was the entree all along.
I've been with you from the very beginning, literally from the moment that trade was made. And we will see. I'm not suggesting people have it wrong. The reporting that is out there is the reporting that is out there. But when push comes to shove, I believe that's the pick they're going to make. As we continue, there's another pick we know for certain is going to be made, and that's Trevor Lawrence. He's going to go number one. And, of course, he spoke over the weekend about the way he had spoken previously, and now everyone is reacting to the way he spoke over the weekend. You need to hear it all, and you will next on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Back with your morning wake-up call. This is Hornets announcer Eric Collins reacting to Miles Bridges' dunk. Listen.
Oh! My mind is blown! Miles Bridges, how do you do?
Good morning, one and all. We're talking about Aaron Rodgers on Get Up today. Now, we know he had a great season. He was the MVP. The Packers went 13-3. They lost in the championship game to the Bucks. We know about that. You also know this. Seems like he may have a future in hosting game shows. Filled out two very successful weeks as the guest host on Jeopardy. So what to make of his future now? He just won MVP. We know the Packers traded up to take Jordan Love. Here's Rodgers' former teammate Charles Woodson on Aaron's future in Green Bay.
I think it could be one of those situations where it gets nasty at some point in a back and forth between, you know, the Packers and Aaron's agents. And, you know, where there's smoke, there's fire. You know what I mean? So this could be a situation where Lottie makes a play or makes some kind of offer, you know, for Aaron Rodgers. And Green Bay can't refuse and say, you know what, hey, we'll go our separate ways. We'll go on with the future of the team.
Now, so he says where there's smoke, there's fire. And Tim Hasselbeck, I thought you made a good point. There's already fire, right? There's more than smoke.
Yes. There is fire. I don't know why we're waiting for him to, like, get mad. Like, he is already mad, isn't he? I mean, a couple weeks ago, he's talking about how he threw a wrench into the Packers' plans by playing so well. Like, I'm not sure from a player's perspective if there can be, like, a little bit more of a kind of like a, hey, like, really, guys? Like, than that. I mean, I'm looking at the situation for him where he's saying, you tried to replace me. You thought I was going to be older and not playing well. And all I did was play better than anybody else at the position this year. So I think he's already upset about it. He's telling us he's upset about it. And truthfully, I think it, unless they win a Super Bowl and he's got everything to be happy about, I think he'll be even more upset a year from now.
He's exactly right. You know, Dominique, we played those comments. It was from Pat McAfee's show. And I think we didn't make enough of it at the time. I mean, if you really think about it, he's saying, I threw a monkey wrench into the Packers' plans by playing so well. If you really stop and think about it, that is a heck of a thing for him to say.
Yeah, it's mind-blowing to think that, in his mind at least, his team didn't want their quarterback to play well. Like, that's outrageous for him to feel that way, or it sounds outrageous to hear him say that, but it doesn't seem as outrageous when you know they drafted a quarterback in a first round, and you know their history, a history that he was a part of, that when they drafted him, suddenly Brett Favre didn't start playing or started playing pretty poorly, and then they transitioned to Aaron Rodgers. So you can imagine why it makes sense to him that they didn't want him to succeed necessarily. The coach was relatively new. They were kind of turning over the organization, and Rodgers had a couple of years that were kind of down, and he felt like they were trying to move on from him. The comment that always stands out to me from Aaron Rodgers is the beautiful mystery. They asked him about his future in Green Bay. He could have easily said, oh, I'm just going to focus on one week at a time. Some cliche that we all have become accustomed to hearing. But he said, no, it's a beautiful mystery. He wants to leave it open, and he wants to hold this over the head of the Green Bay Packers for as long as he needs to.
So what are the clues? If this is a mystery, Graziano, you're my detective. Let's talk about what we know relative to his contract, to the all that kind of stuff. What do we know relative to the beautiful mystery that is his future?
Well, one thing we know is that speaking in cliches is not going to get you the Jeopardy gig. So that's right out. We know he's not going to speak in cliches. Beautiful mystery, yeah, it has two parts. It has mystery and it has beautiful. He seems to be someone who has made his peace with this is the situation. They drafted a guy. They traded up to draft a quarterback in the first round last year. That means my days here are numbered. Now, what is the number? That becomes the question. And he doesn't know that, and I don't think the Packers do either. When they draft Jordan Love last year, I think in the backs of their minds, they were thinking 2 years and they would transition. So that means this time next year, we could be looking at a significant change in the situation. But that will depend on what kind of season they have, how he plays, and how Jordan Love advances. Remember, Jordan Love didn't get a lot of development time last year, didn't play in any preseason games because there weren't any. So it's possible that at this point, it wasn't just that they didn't expect Rodgers to play well. It was more about they probably expected Jordan Love to be further along. They're taking this year to year. And I do think it's important to make the point that it has not gotten ugly, even though there are clearly some ruffled feathers. They managed to hold it all together and get along and win 13 games and get to the NFC Championship game. And they deserve credit for that, both him and the team.
Absolutely, yeah. It hasn't gotten ugly to the extent that it has cost them wins. But the one thing I think we all know about quarterbacks, they like to be in control of the situation. And this is sort of Rodgers taking control. The Packers made their decisions. Now he can go about making his. So here's a quarterback sort of nearer the end of his career. Let's talk about one whose career hasn't even begun. In next week's draft, Clemson's Trevor Lawrence will be the first pick off the board of the Jacksonville Jaguars. And you saw the Sports Illustrated comments. I'm assuming last week this became something you were aware of. He made these comments that, if I may paraphrase in its simplest form, he suggested there was more to his life than football. And because we live in the world we live in, he then needed to explain that. So he went on Twitter and explained it over the weekend by saying, in part, "It seems as if people are misreading my sentiment. I am internally motivated. I love football as much or more than anyone. It is a huge priority in my life, obviously. I'm driven to be the best I can be and to maximize my potential and to win." So let me get Matt back in here. Matt Miller, our draft analyst. What, if any, reaction from the people who actually make these draft decisions did you hear to the comments that Lawrence made in Sports Illustrated?
Yeah, Greeny, when I read this interview, my first thought was, oh gosh, the NFL is going to have a field day with this. And I think a lot of it is like everyone's waiting for something to be wrong with Trevor Lawrence, right? I mean, for 3 years, probably longer, we've known he was going to be the first pick in this draft. So it's almost like people were waiting to say, like, where's the flaw? Where's the thing that we can point at? Where was, you know, he didn't have like the bad game where you could say, oh, well, there was that one game where he threw three interceptions. There really wasn't that. So I think some people wanted to pounce on this with Trevor Lawrence. But it all goes back to the fact that really the only opinion that matters is Urban Meyer's. And he left that cushy job in L.A. sitting on TV like us talking about this sport to get back into coaching at the NFL level where he's never been before. Urban Meyer was okay with Trevor Lawrence in December when he took the head coaching job at the Jacksonville Jaguars. He's known him for quite some time. And I think we do. We overrate these things. I've heard stories over the years, Graziano, I know you have too. I remember one area scout tell me they didn't like Derek Carr because he was married and they thought that would be a distraction. So these things get blown way out of proportion.
I mean,
go ahead, Dan.
It's unbelievable. Every year. I mean, the draft, there's 3 months between the end of the season and the draft, and sometimes it feels like 3 billion years. And I know, Greeny, yes. You know, you need the time. You need the time to study so you can do a great job hosting. Kyle Shanahan apparently needs some time to figure out who he wants to take at quarterback. I understand why there is this time, but it leaves a lot of openings for a lot of nonsense. And I think for Trevor Lawrence to give an interview where he gave an honest answer about what kind of person he is and what matters to him, and then for people to predictably jump on it in predictable ways, it's the kind of thing that annoys me about the pre-draft season, to be honest.
That's fair. I validate that. However, Dominique, let me come to you. Because the exact opposite sentiment, Dominique Foxworth, was expressed by Jamal Adams. When he got drafted by the Jets, Jamal Adams came in, and I forget the exact wording that he used, but the essentially it boiled down to, I would die on the field. Like, I would die out there on the field. And the reaction that got was different from this, but in many ways there was a lot of, oh, yeah, that's the guy I want on my team. Yeah. And if you think about it, that's the crazy thing to say, right? Like, I'm playing this game, and I would die out there. That's the crazy thing. But this is the way we think of football players, Dominique, and you were one.
Yeah, I mean, I think it only matters if you can connect it to some behavior that is detrimental. Like, I don't care about football that much, so I don't watch a lot of film. I don't care about, there are other things in my life, so I show up to practice late every now and then. Like, those are the problems. He's not doing any of that. What it shows to me this last week is that Trevor Lawrence is a quick learner. He gave us in the media and fans the opportunity to meet the true Trevor Lawrence, and we acted like some fools. And then he responded by saying, okay, now let me talk to these children the way that I have to talk to these children. And he sent out a tweet. He's like, obviously I love football, you dummies. Obviously I'm gonna do everything I can, but I care about other things, blah, 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 blah. You want me to be a robot quarterback? I can be that. So it tells me that he is a smart person and a fast learner, and none of this is gonna be a problem for him when he gets into the NFL.
By the way, Matt, he's married, too. He got married earlier this month.
What? He's married? Oh, that changes everything. Now, he can't be a first-round pick.
Right?
I've been concerned about his hair, too. It's a little too long, I think, to lead a franchise. You can't follow that guy, that sunshine look. I don't know about that.
Headline, Lawrence dropping in the draft. Right. All right, well played.
Make sure he doesn't have tattoos.
Take a look at this. Eye candy for Major League Baseball. I want you to see this play. I want you to watch Marcus Stroman, Mets Rockies, and take a look at this behind the back grab. Ooh. How about that? Huh? You can tell me these guys aren't athletes. What do you think, Nick?
Nah, that is incredible hand-eye coordination, but I need a little bit more in the throw. Need a little more in the throw. I was disappointed. This is not a top
backwards.
Five.
If a quarterback in the NFL did that, you'd be raving about it.
I mean, he's a pitcher. Where's the arm strength? Where's the arm strength?
He got it there in time. His arm talent is just fine. So's this guy. Coming up, which quarterback prospects will boom? Which ones will bust? Neek has the answers, and they're on the way next. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Ready or not, tell them here I come. Ready or not, tell them here I come.
Look at me, I'm handsome, fast, quick. Doesn't take much for me to, I'm modest, humble, you know. Doesn't take much for me to be confident.
It's the dopest open we have, and it is Dominique Foxworth, who every week gives us his unique perspective. Dominique, what do we have today?
So I think that we should stop calling first-round quarterbacks busts, because I don't think that's what's happening. These guys are incredibly talented. I don't think it's the players that are busting as much as it's the teams that are busting the players. Because if you look at the first-round quarterbacks that we've had selected, and even beyond the first round, you look at the successful quarterbacks in this league right now, the vast majority of them are guys who fell into good situations, were able to get to have time to develop good habits because they were on a good team with good receivers, good defense, good offensive linemen, and good coaches, and allowed them to turn into the players that we see now. I think Russell Wilson is a perfect example of that. Russell Wilson, his first couple of years, was not great. He was okay, but he was in a situation that allowed him to be, to develop into being great. The same is true for Dak Prescott. And even Patrick Mahomes' situation was great. And I think Lamar Jackson is the best example of that. You can even look at guys like Carson Wentz and Mitchell Trubisky, who had good seasons here and there because the situation was perfect. So I think that it's important for us to understand going forward that we're not wrong about our evaluation of these quarterbacks. Their talent is such that it's minuscule difference between them. But when we get far enough away from this, a lot of those guys fail. In my view, when you look at the way they play, they fail because they fell into a terrible situation and the people around them failed, not because they weren't good enough. So I think we should, 5 years from now, when we look back at this quarterback class, whoever succeeds and whoever fails, I think it is more the fault of the organization and more credit to the organization than it is to the player specifically.
May I simply say, preach. I couldn't agree more with what you were saying, and there are examples of it literally everywhere. Every one of these players can succeed in the NFL if wherever it is they go, Tim Hasselbeck, whether you or I are enamored of a particular prospect or not. You've made this point repeatedly. If you're getting picked in the first round of the NFL draft, you have proven beyond the shadow of a doubt you have something that you can succeed in the NFL. It's a question of who's going to take advantage of those strengths and sort of minimize the weaknesses and who's around you and who's the coaching and all the rest of that. That's what determines these things for the most part. Tim, as a quarterback, what do you think?
Yeah, I think Dominique, his unique perspective is on the money. And I think, you know, 99% of the time that is the case. And so whether it's, look, you know, I think back to, you know, Ben Roethlisberger going to Pittsburgh was perfect for Ben to go to Pittsburgh. And Eli Manning, you know, ending up in New York was kind of the perfect spot for him. I think you can see that over and over again. And I think to add another name to the list, like, look, Josh Rosen is a good example. Like, that was a kind of a failed situation. Now, here's where I think it gets a little tricky. It's not 100% that case. Like, right. Like look at Dwayne Haskins, for example. I don't think that that's on Washington. I really don't. And so I do think that there are cases at the quarterback position where the player does fail. But those are the rare exception, which I think is where Dominique was headed with that.
Right. Go ahead, Dan.
It was an ugly situation in Washington, though, right? Because the owner wanted him. The coach didn't necessarily want him. The coach got fired early in the season. So that does – I know what you're saying, Tim, about Haskins and the issues that have come up about him, but it wasn't a perfect situation. I remember doing a radio interview before the 2018 draft, and somebody asked me, do you think Lamar Jackson will be a successful NFL quarterback? And my answer is, tell me who's going to coach him. And that's so important, right? He lands in Baltimore where he doesn't have to play right away. And John Harbaugh and Greg Roman basically design an offense around him so that when he does have to play, he's ready to do it. Same draft. Did Sam Darnold's organization fail him? Probably. Did Josh Rosen's organization fail him? Absolutely. Did Josh Allen's organization fail him? No. And Baker Mayfield's started to, but may have saved him with the right coaching hire a year ago. That's five first-round quarterbacks, very different situation.
That's correct. These are organizational successes and failures. That's a really good point. That's an excellent, unique perspective from Nick this morning. Meanwhile, let me quickly run the bases here around through some of the action. Actually, this is get up and go. Let me get up and go around all of sports yesterday. And it begins with Bo Horvat, who scored twice, including the winner in overtime as the Canucks beat Toronto 3-2 in their first game in nearly a month. They had suffered a COVID-19 outbreak that was the worst in the sport. 21 players, four coaches had tested positive, but they come back with a win. Meanwhile, the Twins have been forced to cancel a third straight game due to COVID concerns. Today's game against the A's has been tentatively rescheduled for tomorrow as part of a doubleheader. They've had four positive tests in the past week. As far as games actually being played, the Clippers played in front of home fans last night for the first time in over a year, and Kawhi Leonard put on a bit of a show, returning from a four-game absence to lead them to a 19-point win over the T-Wolves. They've won eight of their last nine. And if you want hoops, ESPN is the place for you tonight. We got a Monday doubleheader. We got the hottest player in the sport. Steph Curry is on fire. He scored 30 or more in 10 straight games. He goes up against Embiid and the Sixers. Then we'll go out west for Rudy Gobert and the Jazz taking on the Lakers. That's tonight. Coverage starts with Stephen A's pregame sports center at 7 right here on ESPN. Coming up, a second chance for Lance. Why Trey Lance's second pro day could turn the top of the draft upside down. Next.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Are you looking for baseball? We have it for you tomorrow night. Mets and Cubs, first game of their three-game series at Wrigley on ESPN with Taijuan Walker facing Jake Arrieta. That's tomorrow night right here on ESPN. We're coming up next on his first take. Is Steph Curry the NBA's best offensive weapon? And how excited should Knicks fans be about Zion Williamson's comments? Stephen A., Max, and Molly talking about that and more 4.5 minutes from now here on ESPN. Meanwhile, I want my crew to rejoin me for this. This is Villanova's Daniel Smith throwing a touchdown to Charlie Gilroy. But that hardly seems to tell the story. Tim Hasselbeck, break down this play from a quarterback's perspective?
This is the craziest throw I think I've ever seen. We've seen left-handed passes, underhand passes, no-look passes. I've never seen anything like this. Basically a cartwheel. We're like throwing it backwards, not looking. And what's crazier about it, I was thinking it was going to be like a two-point play where you had to throw it or a fourth down play. It was actually third down. Like, that's what's even crazier about the play.
Dominique, does that mean it's a bad? I mean, on third down, you shouldn't be doing that, right?
It's a bad idea. Yes.
So my first thought right there, too, was like, was this the last play of the game? And then you told us that they actually lost this game. Like, what are you doing? I guess that's a no-no-no-yes situation. But, man, he got lucky.
Yes.
They lost 27-20 to Delaware, but that genuinely might be the most incredible play I've ever seen.
Wide range of outcomes there.
I didn't know it was third down. All right, meanwhile, can Trey Lance do that? That's the question. Maybe they'll have him do it at his pro day today. Doubtful. But it is his second pro day, which is one more pro day than he has interceptions thrown in his college career. He's 17-0. And again, I will just repeat for those of you just joining us, or I will have my friend Dan Graziano repeat, that there is important information about the 49ers' role in this pro day that absolutely could shake up the top of this draft.
Yeah, basically the 49ers set up the pro day. They gave him a set of drills to work on the last couple of weeks with a quarterback coach, John Beck, who's not his regular quarterback coach, but who played for Kyle Shanahan in Washington a decade ago and who Kyle Shanahan trusts in his evaluations of quarterback. Beck also works with Justin Fields, who's also under consideration, along with Mac Jones. But the fact that the 49ers kind of set this up and are going to put him through the paces today in terms of drills specific to what they want their quarterback to do, it matters. It tells us that he is still a possibility at number three.
That is what it tells us, right, Dominique? I mean, that's just not the way you behave if you've already made up your mind who you're taking at number three and it isn't him. What, Dominique, what am I missing?
Yeah, I mean, to me, this sounds more and more like a private workout the more I hear people talk about it. Like, they are picking the drills. They are picking the coaches that are involved. Like, this to me shows that they are realistically considering this. And back to the whole Mac Jones thing is we all kind of accepted it as kind of fact. But we haven't heard John Lynch say it. We haven't heard Kyle Shanahan say it. And we all, oh, what a face. That was good. That was an emphasis right there.
We didn't all accept it as fact. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
We didn't
yeah,
all
I didn't accept
it
as fact. I didn't accept it as fact either, but I do think that the best possible outcome is that they end up with him because he is a dynamic player that I don't think that Mac Jones is necessarily.
It does sort of beg another question that we don't have time to dive into deeply today, but Tim, I will let you get one quick crack at it. Do you have a problem with a team giving up as much as they did to trade up as far as they did without having identified the player that they want to begin with?
Yes, but I don't think that that's what they did, right? And I think that's what we've kind of been debating. I think they did it, but maybe they didn't tell us, you know, why they were going to the restaurant to just polish it off with the restaurant. Like, I think they knew what they wanted to order. And we assumed all along they wanted to order Mac Jones, but that's not what they wanted to order. They wanted to order Trey Lance from the get-go.
What are they getting? Dominique, if this is a restaurant and there's a menu, what are they ordering?
Well, I think that you are forcing us, because this is your show, to stick with this analysis. I do think that Trey Lance comes with a lot of sides, whereas Mac Jones is just an entree. It's an a la carte situation with Mac Jones. You get just the entree, then you got to figure out some other playmakers to get these other assets. With Trey Lance, you get one order, you get a whole bunch of stuff on that plate.
That's exactly right. Trey Lance comes with soup and salad. It's a good analogy. Thanks for getting up, guys. Thank you for getting up. We'll see you tomorrow. First Take starts now.